Welcome to Just a Minute. It's Nicholas Parsons. And as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the program four exciting personalities. And seated on my right, it's Paul Merton and Sue Perkins. And seated on my left, Giles Brandreth and Josie Long. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Trudy Stevens, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the BBC tent at Potter Row in Edinburgh during the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. And we have a wonderful, excited Festival Fringe audience in. We're all keyed up from seeing all the other shows. So we begin the show, Giles, the Commonwealth. Tell us something about the Commonwealth in this show, Giles, starting now.
We know two things about the Queen. One is that she adores her horses. Indeed, as the Duke of Edinburgh says, if he doesn't fart or eat hay, she isn't interested. And the other is her absolute devotion to the Commonwealth, once known as the British Commonwealth, founded in 1931, I think, now encompassing some 53 countries around the globe. The Commonwealth is a warm and glorious organisation that Elizabeth, as I must now call her, for fear of repetition, Lilibet to some, she embraces it and meets people in every continent, saying to them, oh, thank you for being part of my Commonwealth. It's curious, this, because once upon a time in this country, we had a Commonwealth led by Oliver Cromwell.
Sue Challenge, yes, Sue.
Repetition of country.
Yes, you mentioned the country before.
Excuse me, sir. If you play back the tape, I think you'll find I mentioned 53 countries, and then I came to country.
This glorious country, I thought you said. I might be wrong.
I think you might be.
I think you might be. No, actually...
Giles, have you had a cappuccino? He's had a cappuccino.
And I've had a couple of Sue's cupcakes. There's a sugar rush going on here. There's a touch of Mary Berry rising.
Can I just make it very clear, as a matter of public record, that Giles has been nowhere near my cupcakes?
But BBC, we've hardly got going and there's naughtiness already.
We might need, I don't know, perhaps we need like a Hawkeye for Just a Minute where we sort of revise the footage.
No. I have just revised it all in my brain. I did a quick recall and Giles is actually right. He talked about countries before and then he said country. He went from the plural to the singular. So, Giles, you have the benefit of the doubt, but if I can give it back to you at some time... Well, sorry,
tease.
Put that better,
no. You've always been a tease.
If I can give you the benefit of the doubt later on...
That sounds worse.
I will now... Giles, an incorrect challenge. So you have a point for that. You keep the subject. 18 seconds available. The Commonwealth starting now.
In 1649, the leader of our nation, who wanted a portrait painted warts and all, founded what he termed the Commonwealth. The idea being the wealth of common people. That the work of each for we the poor...
Sue, challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, you did have people before. Yes. Well, listen, Sue, so you've got in cleverly with 5 seconds ago. A point for a correct challenge, of course. If the subject is a... What's the matter with you?
That is a really disturbing noise for the listener at home.
Giles is lactating, for those of you.
The pills he took last night were just beginning to work. So, Giles, in spite of the noise, Sue, correct challenge, and there are 5 seconds to go. The subject is the Commonwealth, starting now.
I don't fart and I don't eat hay, which sadly means the Queen, who runs the beloved Commonwealth, wouldn't fancy me.
And in this game, whoever is speaking with the whistle goes, gains an extra point. It was Sue Perkins. She's now in the lead, of course, with 2 points there. And Josie, we're back with you to begin. And we've got a subject for you to take now called outdoor swimming. I don't know whether that's one of your activities or hobbies, but you have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I love outdoor swimming. You never regret a swim, said champion swimmer Thor Olafsson, before drowning in an Arctic lake. You name it. Lake? Oh, no. I knew I'd done it and I couldn't help myself.
I know. Poor you, Chan.
Slight hesitation.
Major hesitation.
It was part of my natural... Yeah, I have no excuse.
That is it. It's a natural way to speak, but unfortunately, it's not working just a minute. That's why it's such a difficult game. Right, so, Paul, a correct challenge. 43 seconds available. Outdoor swimming starting now.
As the Titanic finally disappeared from...
So, here you challenge.
There was a slight hesitation.
Oh, yes, definitely, yes.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Yeah. That makes me feel gand.
So, you... So you've not only got the subject jersey, but you've also got the audience with you. And you have 40 seconds still available on outdoor swimming starting now.
Rivers, lakes, ponds, puddles, bit of...
Jars, your challenge.
That lovely hesitation that is part of her natural way of speaking. Yeah.
I thought it was the image she created of us trying to swim in a puddle.
Have you actually
tried to swim in a puddle, darling?
I've given it a go.
Given it a go. Right. Giles, a great man. Outdoor swimming is with you, Giles. 34 seconds starting now.
I've always believed that swimming is for people who cannot afford a bath. And the idea of outdoor swimming in this part of the world is extraordinary. I have been to Edinburgh in August before. I'm wearing my thermals as a consequence of that experience. And the notion of outdoor swimming here is completely absurd, apart from the verrucas that one catches when trying to dry one's feet after the plunge. There are all sorts of curious things going on in the water. Pneumonia, we know the P is silent, as indeed it is in swimming pool. An unfortunate consequence of going for outdoor swimming is the...
So, Giles Brandes, who's been speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's taken the lead ahead of Sue Perkins, Josie Long and Paul Merton in that order. Sue, we'd like you to begin the next round, and the subject is my bedtime... There's nothing funny in that. But there's plenty of fun in Sue Perkins, right?
You said you wouldn't say. I mean, it's like...
Sue, oh, I wish I hadn't said that. Now I see what the next subject is.
Oh, no.
It's my bedtime treat. So, Sue, 60 seconds if you need them. My bedtime treat starting now.
I'm tucked up in bed in my pyjamas and I just turn to my left and I say, Nicholas, what box set are we going to enjoy this evening? There's nothing that Mr. Parsons and myself love doing more than cracking open a couple of episodes of Prison Break. Filmed in 2006, it features two brothers. One...
Giles Jones.
Repetition of two.
There were two, yes.
Yes.
Oh, 2006.
Yes. Fiendish.
Well,
we never know our bedtime treats now. That's probably a good thing.
Giles, a correct challenge, so my bedtime treat is over to you, and there are 42 seconds available starting now.
I've recently become quite friendly with Russell Brand, and he suggested to me that for the ideal bedtime treat, a young person sent over from Latvia to do some massages before one actually kips down is the best way of enjoying the time before you actually nod off.
Sue Challenge.
It's more of an intervention.
I'm going to give you a bonus point for your comment, but have you got a challenge within the rules of just a minute?
Well, I'm sort of so over-empathising with the poor Latvian, it's very hard for me to follow Giles' trait. I'm going to listen and see how it goes.
So, right, so an incorrect challenge. Giles, you still have the subject. 27 seconds available. My bedtime treat starting now.
My actual bedtime treat is a visit from Sue Perkins, who pops up the stairs with a tray loaded down with cupcakes, which she allows me to have just before I go to bed. The countervalence of this is that I'm on some tablets myself, and therefore the sugar rush that contained within the quality...
Sue, I need to stop it for legal reasons.
So, Sue, yeah. There are 8 seconds still available, Sue. My bedtime treat starting now.
Well, Giles doesn't know that his bedtime treat has been laced with a narcoleptic fluid, thus meaning he will slip away into the waters of unconsciousness.
So, Sue Perkins will then speak as the whistle went, gain the extra point, and she's now equal in the lead with Giles Brandreth, and Paul Merton and Josie Long are equal in second place, a few points behind. And Paul, we'd like you to begin the next round. Oh, irritating catchphrases. Can you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
Well, I suppose most catchphrases can be irritating if you hear them time and again. It's because the repetition... What's the matter? What happened then?
The audience reacted at your cleverness.
Oh.
And then Sue challenged in the pause.
Yes, a pause which was for comic effect, so I believe within the rules we should allow some...
No, we don't allow, but I'm going to score no points on that and say, Paul, please carry on. And fifth, because the audience interrupted and Paul was thrown. they challenged, but I can't award any points to the audience, so...
Sorry,
all right.
Prizes.
It's been 47 years. All right. I award every single one of them a point. And you can take it home with you and put it up on your bedroom wall. I won that in just a minute. Hey. Oh. How childish can you become? Paul, you have 52 seconds on irritating catchphrases starting now.
Heil Hitler was a particularly irritating catchphrase that he used to hear quite a lot, but thank God that stopped in 1945. Meanwhile, catchphrases have always been part of comedy. One thinks of Arthur Askey with his phrases like, hey, thank you all, and right before your very eyes, Tommy Cooper, just like that. Comedians over the years have engineered various catchphrases because when the audience hears a certain number of words in an order that they appreciate and heard before, this conjures up comedy. So it's a shorthand cut to getting a laugh. So,
Giles Challenge.
A repetition of comedy and appreciate.
Oh. Yes, comedy's full of it.
Should we skip the 2 minute silence? No.
I think they were all mentally replaying some of what you'd said.
Yes.
And they came to the conclusion that Giles' challenge was correct.
Absolutely.
And 25 seconds is available, Giles, on irritating catchphrases starting now.
Am I bothered? Do. What do you think of the show so far? Eat my shorts. These are all phrases with which we are familiar. How do they become irritating? It is, in fact, the repetition, also the personality that is expressing them. Nice to see you. Well, how does that follow? You all know. I'm not able to repeat it, though you might help me by doing so. I would allow you that moment of benefit. You can end up with a knighthood if you come up with it.
So, Giles Brandreth, once again, was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, has increased his lead at the end of the round. And, Josie, we're back with you to begin. I don't know whether this has been chosen specially for you. It's quite an erudite subject. Hieronymus Bosch.
Yeah, big fan.
Can you tell us something about Hieronymus Bosch in 60 seconds or less, starting now?
Hieronymus Bosch got away with painting things that, in the 15th century, one should not have been able to do. Ecclesiastical powers weren't able to stop him. For example, a nun's head in a fish's mouth, a giant orange collapsing into a... I'm slow. I try so hard, but I just slow down every time. And in my head, I'm like, you're speeding up, don't worry, it's all fine.
You were getting a bit slower then, darling, yes. Right.
Yeah.
And then you stopped.
It's the adrenaline.
And Paul, you challenged us.
It slows me right down.
Right. I don't know whether you want the subject, but it's still yours, Paul.
Hesitation, yes.
Yes. 37 Fair. Seconds. Hieronymus Bosch, starting now.
As I stood in the art gallery at midnight, I heard a sudden whisper behind me. I knew I was alone, but was I? The painting on the wall suddenly featured one less figure than it had the day before. I looked carefully and saw the outline of a farmer who had previously been standing on the hillock, but now could be this old dad. I was going so well. Wasn't I going well, wasn't I?
And Sue, you challenge me.
Oh, hesitation.
Absolutely.
Right, 20 seconds are still available, Sue. Hieronymus Bosch, starting now.
I believe, and Josie is the expert, that Hieronymus...
Josie, challenge.
I thought there was a hesitation, but I think I genuinely got overexcited. I'm kind of quite happy.
Yes, you thought that was hesitation. Yeah.
Because she said, like... No, it's because she said, like, I believe as, but I thought that she was sort of going, oh, like that. So I sort of almost misheard it. Yeah.
Spot on, Josie.
Thank you. Nice to have
you. I think you should save your excited.
No, I apologise.
When you're actually talking. So,
you're very kind and I appreciate it.
We just love having you here, Josie. Right. And there are 17 seconds left. Hieronymus Bosch with you, Sue, starting now.
Hieronymus Bosch painted the triptych, The Garden of Earthly Delights. All I can remember, it features three scenes. Heaven, Earth as we know it, and Hell. Heaven... you utter bug!
You were pausing for effect. And in this game, that's hesitation. Paul, that was your challenge, I'm
hesitation,
sure.
Yes.
5 seconds, you can tell us more about Hieronymus Bosch, starting now.
He came from a large family. His mother and father were known to him, and he also had brothers...
So Paul Merton was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point, and he's moving forward. He's still in third place, one behind Sue Perkins, who's one behind Giles Brandreth. It's all very close, and Josie's bringing up a very good rear. I wish I hadn't said that.
It's the sport commentary of all time.
Oh, dear, things which are better left unsaid. Sue Perkins, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is unidentified flying objects. Can you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
Unidentified flying objects, or UFOs, are noted to be vessels that fly, which no one can provide adequate explanation for. It's a true thing that in a place in Scotland called Linlithgow, I believe, a man found himself nude with ripped shorts, staring at what he believed to be a saucer of flying nature. This was proven to be a water tower when he came to full consciousness after having spent an inordinately long time in a local tavern. I myself have seen several UFOs, mainly during...
Giles Challenge.
A repetition of UFOs.
Yes.
It's not on the card. UFO is on the card.
On the card is unidentified flying objects, yes. Not UFOs. You have the sympathy of the audience. 23 seconds, Giles. Unidentified flying objects starting now.
My wife is not here tonight. She is at the relate meeting alone. And,
deviation, she's sitting over there. I was talking to her earlier. Admittedly, she doesn't want to be identified in public, but she is here.
If you think that beautiful young creature I brought tonight is my wife... certainly the person you think is my daughter is my wife. You're absolutely right. I'm so pleased that she is here. I'm quite happy to accept that challenge.
That's very magnanimous of you, considering it's absolutely true. Right. So, Paul, a correct challenge. 19 seconds on unidentified flying objects, starting now.
Ah, the delicious Mrs. Brandreth. We held hands together as we looked out of the window on the 7-4 ditto jet that we were flying from London to New York. Our eyes met across the aisle. She reached towards the complimentary chocolates. I handed her a packet of...
Giles Challenge.
She has never reached towards a complimentary chocolate.
Because you won't let her... Woman be free!
She doesn't even allow me to steal the soap at the Edinburgh Novotel. This woman is so decent, it's extraordinary. And that slim figure, do you think she'd have that if she was on the chocolates? He doesn't know her, he's just boasting.
Well, you started off. But you started off by not saying she was here.
I know.
You are now suddenly defending someone that you disavowed your knowledge of 5 minutes ago.
The point is, I told Paul's wife my wife wasn't here, and I didn't want to sort of reveal that in public. That's all.
This has gone a bit Jeremy Kyle.
And you're talking...
Do a lie detector. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and a paternity suit. Yeah. That's what we need. That's what this show needs.
You really are, Giles, talking like a politician now, flanning your way out of an impossible situation.
If I was talking like a politician, I'd have resigned on my way to the airport and left my wife there with Paul, wouldn't I?
Paul, I think we give you the benefit of the doubt and say there are 4 seconds left on unidentified flying objects starting now.
18,000 feet above Reykjavik. I observe the ground beneath me and say...
And at the end of that round, Paul Merton, speaking as there was a way, and gained an extra point, and he's moved forward, and he's now equal with Giles Brandreth in the lead, followed by Sue Perkins and then Josie Long. And I've just had a message that we're moving into the final round.
No. I've just had a message and Sue's been giving personal protection at the end of the show.
Well, I know we could go on for ages because they're all so entertaining. Wow. Man, you've been so lovely as well. But... there was nothing like clapping yourselves, is there? Let me give you the situation as we move into the final round. Josie Long, who's not played the game very often before, but she's in a very strong fourth place. I mean, she's... No, because there's no winners and losers in this game. It's one. And she's a little way behind Sue Perkins, who I think won last time with, she was on here in Edinburgh.
That was ages ago, though, wasn't it?
And then in second place is Paul Merton, that is. He's 2 points behind Giles Brandreth. What's going to happen?
Ooh.
As Giles actually begins the next round, it's your turn, Giles. Oh, a lovely subject. One of my favourite things, rhubarb. Don't know why you laugh, it's gorgeous. I stew a lot of rhubarb, it's my speciality. I've written recipes, I'll give them to you sometime later. Right, Giles, rhubarb, 60 seconds, starting now.
I have long adored rhubarb, for about 30 years, in fact, since I first discovered this wonderful green dog and its friend Custard the Pink Cat. Rhubarb, the voice of Richard Briers, was one of the seminal entertainments in my childhood. And sitting there eating rhubarb stew...
Small challenge.
One of the entertainments in your childhood. Rhubarb and Custard, the show that was 30 years ago. In your childhood. I'm not sure they had television in your childhood.
You often say I've not left my childhood. It might have been my second childhood. It was a delayed childhood, but I take the point you are making.
Well, I'm afraid you have to, Giles, because it's a correct challenge. And Paul, you have 44 seconds on rhubarb, starting now.
It's meant to be one of those phrases, extras in the back of films, meant to mutter each other. Rhubarb. Oh, yes.
Sue,
a couple of ments. Repetition.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I didn't get it. It was all so quick. Right. So, Sue, you've got rhubarb. No, we've got rhubarb. What a ridiculous thing to say. You have the subject of rhubarb, and there are 40 seconds still available, starting now.
Rhubarb, like the dialogue in Hollyoaks, is forced, often placed in dark environments where those beautiful pink fronds can extend towards the minimal sky. It is one of my favourite flavours, especially when providing the mythical cupcakes I seem to be serving to Giles Brandreth in each and every scenario he paints on this of the most beautiful of programmes. It's peppery, sweet deliciousness fills your mouth with an explosion of joy, and the colour excites the eyes.
Josie, challenge.
I'd like to challenge because rhubarb is disgusting. Sound like a rhapsody.
I see how she does when she gets it into her cupcake. The flavour is transformed. It becomes something quite different.
Oh, I love it.
So, Josie, don't you?
I could wax lyrical for at least how long? 23 seconds.
Josie, don't you like rhubarb?
It's the only fruit where, to make it palatable, you have to cover it in sugar. Loads of sugar
and
then
bake it. I'll give you a little culinary tip. When you stew it, put in some ginger and lemon and all kinds of things like that.
Yeah, but still what you're saying to me is the flavour itself is disgusting. Mask it as best you can.
Josie, as you haven't played the game so much, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I disagree with your observations on rhubarb, but I'd like you to talk on the subject with 8 seconds still available, starting now.
I think rhubarb is properly disgusting. What a terror of a fruit. Barely sweet at all.
Paul, challenge.
So hesitation.
I know there was. You could have had it for deviation because it's not disgusting.
Is it a fruit or a vegetable?
No, it's a vegetable anyway. You could have had a deviation.
Deviation,
there.
It's a vegetable.
I said it was barely a fruit. Like, I think it's in the arena of fruit, but it's just barely one.
The two leaders are now equal. So Paul gets a point because it's technically a correct challenge. Oh. Josie's going to finish the show for us because there's only 2 seconds to go. And you start now.
On behalf, hesitation, on behalf of the Rhubarb Defence League, I will have my say.
Give Sue a point, because we enjoyed her interruption. But, Josie, you still have the subject. 2 seconds still available. Rhubarb, starting now.
Stewed rhubarb. What rhubarb?
Paul, you challenged
me. What's the point?
Rhubarb's revenge.
Deviation from rhubarb.
I can't even say the word. I have 2 seconds. You lightened it up for me. It was an open goal. It was an open goal and I just kicked it off the pitch.
But you kept repeating the word stewed, darling. It's not on the card. No.
No, it's all fair. I mean, if anything, what I've proved is I'm a terrible player.
So, Paul, a correct challenge.
I don't deserve your
support. Well, give Paul another point for a correct challenge and leave it with Josie for half a second to go. Starting now!
Rhubarb.
So Josie Long was then speak as a whistle wind and gained that extra point. And she's finished up in a wonderful fourth place. But it's the contribution and not the points, as I always say. In third place was lovely Sue Perkins, who did so well. And Giles, who always does so well. He finished up. He's only 1 point behind our leader, who is Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, well, 1 point. You are the best. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. I only have to thank these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Sue Perkins, Giles Brandreth, and Josie Long. I thank Trudy Stevens, who's helped me with the score and blew her whistle so elegantly when the 60 seconds elapsed. I don't know why that's funny, but I'm glad you laughed. And we thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're deeply indebted to this lovely Festival Fringe audience here in the BBC Tent and Potter Row, who've been cheered us on our way with style and panache. So from them and from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye. And tune in again at the same time when we play Just a Minute!